Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting live from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world with over 150,000 listeners in over 70 countries. Thank you so much, everyone, for your incredible, wonderful support. We have an incredible show for you today from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. Both hours will be devoted to a fantastic International UFO Conference, which will be broadcasting live from Norway in just a few minutes. Guests on the program include Terry Wolfsberg, the organizer of the conference, Emma Louise Hansen and Jan Erik Karstensen from the Andromeda Galaxy, and Robert Salas, a famous UFO contactee. And they'll be coming on the air in just a few minutes. With that, I'd also like to mention some wonderful upcoming events. From October 26th to the 29th, 2017, there will be a wonderful water conference in Sofia, Bulgaria. For more information about this conference, please see their website at www.waterconference.org. One of the speakers at the conference will be our very own Professor Jerry Pollack of the University of Washington. I consider Professor Pollack one of the world's most famous water scientists, and his laboratory relies on donations, your donations, public donations, for support. If you'd like to send a donation to support his wonderful laboratory, please email Professor Pollack at ghp@u.washington.edu, and I know he would really appreciate your support. And I also want to thank everyone for their support of this radio show, because not Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com and just click on it. For everyone donating at least $25 today, I'd be happy to give them a brief reading as well. I really appreciate your help and support, because I know together we can and will create a much better and happier world. I also want to thank everyone who supported the Hopi Clean Water Project, especially Jan Rizzini of California, for her wonderful contribution to that worthy effort. I'd also like to thank the many sponsors of this show, including Crystal Voyage Bookstore and Spiritual Center in Tacoma, and the wonderful Orion Tech Computers of Bend, Oregon. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and any advertising on the program will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services in over 70 countries. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been signing my website and providing wonderful support, my dear friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like a reading, or if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who've passed on, or contact your angelic guides, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and you can also call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793, or toll-free in the United States and Canada at 1-888-879-8339. As you know, the people of Puerto Rico, the Dominican Republic, the Virgin Islands, and many people have been affected by the hurricanes in the Caribbean, and before we start our show today, I'd like to ask everyone around the world to please send lots of love and light to everyone in that part of the world. Also, too, please send lots of love and light to the people in Mexico who have been hurt by that recent tragic earthquake in central Mexico. With that, I'd like to go on to my first guest, Terry, or Terje Wolfsberg, the organizer of this wonderful conference in Norway. Terry, are you there? We'll get Terry on here in a minute here. Hello, Terry, are you there?
Sorry, this is Jan-Erik.
Hi, Jan-Erik. Is Terry there?
Terry will come up on 3 minutes, I think. Four minutes.
Well, let's start talking to both you and Emma. We'll have Terry on when he shows up.
Yes.
Emma Louise and Jan-Erik, how are you today?
We're great.
We're fine, Ted. And you?
I'm fine. Yeah, I'm fine. It's always good to be here in the studio. And Robert Salas, are you there, Robert?
Yeah, we'll he's waiting for he's online about 1 minute.
Okay. Everyone's been delayed. Okay. Well,
we have arranged that Terje is coming 15:11.
Okay, all right.
And then Salah will come after Tarja. So
okay, well
let's start on their way.
Let's start with you. I don't like to waste time. Emma Louise, you're a contactee of the Drama Galaxy. You've experienced both face to face and telepathic communication with the Andromedans, who are members of the Galactic Alliance. During an interview back in 2014, 3 years ago, you stated that we're entering a new golden age, an age that will be far different and more and much more uplifting and positive than our current times. Anyway, I would love to talk to your Andromeda Galaxy friends today, Emma, and if you had any messages from them, we would love to hear them.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to my Andromeda time, when I was in the Andromeda Galaxy, I had a training program there. So I was there for about a little bit over 3,400 years. So I'm not directly from the Andromeda Galaxy, but I have been in training there, just as I have been in training in the other systems and planets as well.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Now we are, Ted, we are actually having Tarja and Robert coming in now.
Oh, all right, all right.
So we can get back to the question.
Yeah, we'll get back
later,
to
later. Okay?
Next hour, Emma and Terji and Robert. Welcome to Out of This World Radio. It's so good to have both of you here.
Just wait.
Yeah, this coming now. They're coming now. He's been outside, so he just took his sweater off. It's so warm.
All right.
He's online. Right. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, say hello now.
Hello. Okay, Ted, hello here.
Oh, hello. Is this Terry?
Yes, sure.
Oh, hi, Terry. Hi, good evening. How are you doing today?
Fine.
Good.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so good to have you here today.
Late night, you know.
It's a little late. Yeah, I'm sorry. It's after 11 there in Norway. I know. It's kind of late.
It's no problem. But when you're organizing conference, you get time to get tired in the evenings.
Sure. Right. That's normal. Well, if I could get you a cup of coffee now, Terji, I would, but I can't. But anyway. Well, tell everyone about your wonderful conference. And there's still time for people to come if they'd like to come to Norway, because it goes through the weekend. But please tell us a little bit about the speakers and your conference.
Yes, we have a great conference. We have a great conference with the best of speakers we could possibly get, mostly from the U.S. And then we also on someone Skype was Paul Hellier from Canada.
Wonderful man.
Yeah, and most of your listeners probably know him. Mm-hmm. And he's the most high-ranking official telling the world that we are visited by extraterrestrials.
He wrote a foreword for my new book, which I just published last month.
Oh, he did. Oh,
yeah,
he did.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, did. Wonderful. And now the location of the conference, if people want to go there this weekend, is it outside Trondheim or close
to
Oslo?
Yes, it's in the countryside.
Okay.
It's in a very beautiful area where there have also been crop formations. It's a sacred spot on the ley line system. It's a very powerful place, power spot. So it's a very good place to have a conference.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful.
The best place we can find.
Mm. Oh, excellent. Mm-hmm. And you've got Whitney Strieber there too. Is he in person or on Skype?
He is on Skype from New York on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And we have, today we had Susie Hansen coming all the way from New Zealand to talk about her interesting experience with a type of grace, which is very benevolent and help us in our evolution, upgrading us, our consciousness.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fascinating. And then also, you've got, Paul Hellier and then Robert Salas. And I'm so happy that Robert's there today. He can come on my show.
Yeah, he will be here in person, so I don't have to say so much about him. But we have Veronica Pazvels from Peru. She lives in Canada. She was a bit tired tonight, so I don't think she will be here. But she's a very interesting contact person.
Oh,
I'm in contact with Godar from Alpha Centauri. And it's been given a lot of very useful and interesting information, especially for humanity today.
Beautiful.
And also,
Beautiful. Well, I was hoping to have Veronica on tonight, but I understand that it's a long ways to fly from
yes.
here over there. So that's understandable. Totally understandable. Mm. Yeah. Well, you know, Terry, I went to your conference in October 2014, and I had a wonderful time. And I'm so happy you're having you've been having these every year since then.
Yeah, almost. It's so strenuous. We have to have some breaks in between.
Sure. Sure. I understand completely.
But we get a lot. It's very giving. We give a lot, and we also receive a lot. It's so we have a lot.
Wonderful.
Very beneficial for us also.
Wonderful.
Hopefully for all the attendees and everybody. Mm.
Wonderful. And you're having a Skywatch tonight, aren't you? I remember that's what I read about in the...
Yes, the Skywatch is going on now. I had to go inside because of the US radio program. So... Mm-hmm. Yes, the other people are outside now.
Wonderful.
Skywatching.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, I just sent a telepathic message to the UFOs hovering above your conference, and they said they'd wait a few minutes while you're on the air here. Then they'll wait for you outside. So
hopefully. Yeah.
So that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. Well, tell me, Terry, will you be having another one of these conferences next year as well?
We have to have a break now, and we also very concerned about weather modification going on most parts of the globe.
Oh, right.
It's a geoengineering program, which has a very devastating effect on the environment and on all living things on species on Earth.
Yeah.
Mankind and the animal kingdom. It's a terrible tragedy, and it has to stop.
Yeah.
So we want to sound the alarm and use a lot more energy and on that issue. So I put this conference on hold for a while because of that.
Yeah. Well, that's good. That's good. That's good. I know that where I used to live in Eastern Washington, the U.S. Navy there, in their chemtrail program, sprayed tons of aluminum, barium, strontium, and sulfur.
That's true. Mm,
yeah.
That's correct.
Yeah. Yeah, and I did tests actually in the water supplies there, in the lake water, in the air, and in the fish in the area, and it exceeded sometimes 8 to 10,000 times what it should have been.
That's correct.
And the area itself has an extremely high breast cancer rate, high rates of stillbirths among people who have babies there, and people think it's all related to the. To the chemtrail program, which is done illegally by the U.S. Navy.
It's a lot of nations cooperating with this program now. It's not only the U.S.
Yeah.
Well, and also work on. Are you there?
I'm here. Yeah, go ahead.
Terry. Yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Also, take up some work that I used to do. A few years ago, giving out information about the emergence of a new spiritual teacher called Maitreya, the world teacher.
Oh, beautiful.
Which is here for humanity, to help us in our evolution and inspire us to solve the problem with the environment and all the wars and conflicts we have. And, to come to a better humanity that functions on a higher level than today.
Well...
To help us reach a better level.
Wonderful, Terry. Well, we need all the help we can get, I think.
Sure. So. Today we need
Wonderful. Well, have you been outside already in the Skywatch, and have you been able to see any UFOs hovering out in the sky?
There was what we call a high flyer. Mm-hmm. Those who fly very high and erratically across the sky. It was not the satellite. Mm-hmm. We saw one of those before I went in.
Beautiful.
But that,
Wonderful. Well, you'll probably see more there and tonight. And sometime I'd love to have you back on for a whole hour, and we can talk about chemtrails, Terje, And certainly if you have another conference on chemtrails or UFOs, I'd love to help publicize it for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for that. Keep that in mind.
Please, yeah, keep in touch and keep in mind, and I'll be happy to give you all the promotions you like on that, because I think it's an important issue as well.
Well, thanks.
My pleasure. Mm. I'm so happy you could come on today. And with that, what I'd like to do is invite Robert Salas on the show, if he's there, and if not, then Turchi and I can continue talking.
Yeah, Robert Salas is here waiting for to talk. Yeah.
Okay. All right, Terry. Well, thank you so much for coming on today, and keep up your wonderful work.
God bless you.
Thanks
a lot.
It's people like you who are making a difference and making this world a better place, and I want to thank you so much for having your conference there.
Thank you.
Okay, all right. Take care. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Cheers. Bye-bye. Bye.
Yes.
Bye. Robert, are you there? Hello, Robert, are you there?
Hello.
Oh, hi, Robert, are you there?
Yes, can you hear me all right?
Oh, just fine. Yes, just fine. Very nice, clear connection. Yeah, we have a really good connection. And I want to thank you so much for taking the time. I know it's past 11 there, Norway time, and if I was there, I'd buy you several gallons of coffee to stay up.
Well, I'm still getting used to the time change, so... No problem. I'm more or less awake.
Okay. Good. Well, here in the States, of course, in Seattle, it's about 2:20 p.m. In the afternoon. So here we're all wide awake. But I apologize for calling you so late. But thank you again so much for coming on. If I can,
my pleasure.
Well, good. I'm so happy you could come on. I'd like to read a little bit about your background. You graduated from the U.S. Air Force Academy and spent 7 years in active duty from 1964 to 1971. You also held positions at Martin Marietta and Rockwell and spent 21 years at the FAA. That's Federal Aviation Administration. In the Air Force, U.S. Air Force, you were an air traffic controller and a missile launch officer, as well as an engineer on the Titan Nuclear 3 missiles. And then you had an experience in a UFO incident in March of 1967. Well, this is from your website, where you stated that you saw that 16 nuclear missiles became non-operational at two different launch sites immediately after guards saw UFOs hovering above. And you've got quite a bit to say about that, but I want to open it up the floor, Robert, and you can say anything you like, and I'd love to hear more about your experiences.
Well, first of all, I'm happy to be talking to an audience from Seattle. I spent, from about 1992 to 95, 96. I'm going back now. Actually, about 90 through 97, I was there. A couple of things. I was working for FAA, and then I retired from that work and decided I wanted to be a teacher, so I went to the University of Washington. Got my teaching degree.
Oh, wonderful.
While I was at the University of Washington, I happened to be in their bookstore and just browsing, and happened to pick up a book called Above Top Secret by Timothy Good.
Oh, yeah.
I happened to turn to page 300 of that book, and lo and behold, there was a very short paragraph. Mm-hmm. On missiles being shut down by UFOs in Montana in 1967.
Wow.
And, of course, I immediately thought that was my incident. mm-hmm. I was surprised to see it in print because the last time I thought about that was in 67, the day after the incident happened. We're ordered never ever to talk about it. In mm-hmm. fact, I had to sign a document stating that I would never do so with a penalty of spending the rest of my life in prison, probably. So
that wouldn't be much fun.
No, but I certainly enjoyed living in Seattle. A wonderful place, beautiful, great people, and I'm really happy to be talking to your audience here.
Well, thanks. Yeah, Seattle's a wonderful place. Thank you.
You bet. My son still lives there, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Great.
The reason I bring that point up about above top secret is that's what started me looking into my incident, mm-hmm. because of course, like I mentioned, I couldn't talk about it for almost 20 years, but as a result of it being in print, I decided I would go ahead and contact the Air Force to see if they had declassified the incident.
Mm-hmm.
And through an intermediary there, the co-author of the first book I wrote is called Fated Giant. His name is James Klotz. I went through, at the time he worked with MUFON, Mutual UFO Network. And I asked him to write a letter to the Air Force requesting information under the Freedom of Information Act about this particular incident that was discussed in the book about Top Secret.
Mm-hmm.
I told him also not to mention anything about UFOs. I just wanted to see if the Air Force would release any information at all about it. And lo and behold, they did. Apparently, at least the people we contacted in the Air Force weren't aware that this was a UFO incident.
Mm-hmm.
And so we started getting documents with respect to what I'll call the Echo Flight shutdown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll explain that a little bit more later, but... And we got quite a few documents going into some detail on the Echo Flight shutdowns.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, the Air Force sent us a letter saying that the incident had been classified, but since it had been so long, they were going to go ahead and declassify the incident.
Oh, good.
And so they did. Mm-hmm. They declassified what had been a classified incident was this incident where a whole flight of missiles, a flight being 10, in this case, Minuteman 1 intercontinental ballistic missiles, nuclear.
Mm-hmm.
They declassified that. And so then I felt, since this was my incident, that's what I thought at the time,
right.
I decided to go ahead and go public, taking a risk, of course, that this was my incident.
Right.
As it turned out, it wasn't my incident. And it was a big surprise to me when I found that out.
Mm-hmm.
This was a separate incident that had occurred about a week before my event.
Mm.
And I didn't realize that at the time, and I didn't realize this until about 2 years later.
Mm-hmm.
But by that time, I had started speaking openly,
mm-hmm.
Publicly about the Echo Flight shutdowns.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
So that's how I got started in Seattle.
Wow. Interesting. Isn't it funny how life turns like that? You walk into a bookstore, you happen to open up a book, you happen to go to that page, and there's the incident that starts triggering a whole bunch of things.
And I know some of your listeners won't believe that that's the way it was, but yeah. That's the way it really happened.
Oh, yeah.
Because, that's the way I normally buy a book. I just kind of open it up and
sure.
thumb through a couple of pages, read a page or two, and then if I'm interested, I'll go on. But in this case... I opened it up to the only page, really, in the book. The book, of course, has hundreds of pages, but this was the only page that talked about the UFOs shutting down a missile flight in Montana in 1967. And it was a very short paragraph.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing.
But that's what got me going.
Wow, that's amazing. That's amazing. Well, I'm I probably should have told you this before, but I'm a psychic. I've been in touch with the other side for like 23, 24 years. So it's normal for me to talk to not only spirits on the other side, but also extraterrestrials as well, and benevolent extraterrestrials. And from what the benevolents tell me, Robert, is that they did that back then and in other incidents after that because they didn't want us to kill ourselves. They didn't want to use us to use nuclear weapons against the Soviet Union or any other country to start, you know, end up blowing up the planet. And that's what I was told anyway. And so your experience in these UFOs shutting down these missiles were just amazing. Did you have any other instances like that after this happened in Montana, Robert?
Well,
that you can talk about.
Not with missiles shutting down, but I did have a contact experience.
Oh, interesting. Tell us about it, if you don't mind.
Oh, no, I don't mind at all. Did you want to hear more about the missile shutdown experience later?
You can tell them more about the missile shutdown. You can talk about more about the missile shutdown experience now, if you like, but
Okay, I just wanted to briefly mention a few things. In my case, what happened was the guards had seen objects flying overhead, and I was on duty at the time. We had optional rest period. Mm-hmm. So my commander, and there were only two of us underground in the capsule, and by the way, we're 60 feet underground in a hardened site in control of 10 nuclear missiles.
Wow.
And by the way, I don't want to frighten you or your audience, but at that time, we had the capability of launching missiles, just the two of us. You know, we had gotten it into our heads that we were about to start World War III, that would actually launch those missiles.
Wow.
Now they've got more safeguards, but that's the way it was at the time. So the guard calls down. He says he's seeing some strange lights in the sky flying very fast, stopping on a dime, reversing course, and that sort of thing. And he wanted to report it. He said they weren't aircraft because they couldn't hear any engine noise. And,
right.
And so he calls down, reports it, and kind of dismiss it, basically hung up on. You know, I was not a believer in this sort of thing.
Sure.
And then about 5 minutes later, he calls back. This time he's actually screaming into the phone. He's very frightened. And he tells me he's got all the guards with their weapons out, and they're looking at this glowing red object. It's an oval-shaped, very large, hovering above the front gate, just sitting above the front gate, pulsating reddish-orange light. And frightened to death, he wants me to tell him what to do. And I think he was hoping I would tell him to go ahead and shoot at the damn thing. I was really kind of shocked at the report. I didn't, you know, this is just unheard of. So I just basically told him, make sure nothing comes inside the gated fenced area. So I left it up to him whether not to use any weapons. So he hung up the phone, and I went to tell my commander about the calls, and all of a sudden we get a lot of bells and whistles going off in the capsule. And we have a display panel there showing the status of the missiles. And I want to correct what you said earlier, because all 10 missiles shut down within rapid succession, all 10. When I initially wrote this up in my first book, I said 6 only because my commander was not sure all 10 had gone down. I wanted to be a little conservative, but I do remember, I always remember that all 10 went down. And later it was confirmed by another witness. All of what I'm telling you has been validated by other witnesses. It's not just my story, but it's...
I believe you, Robert. I know you're telling the truth. Go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. So we lose all 10 vessels while this object is up there. And we also get what I call warning lights about, we had proximity sensors at the facilities. See, the launch facilities is where the missiles are actually located. They're about a mile away from the center, the launch control center where I was.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in about a ring with about a mile radius. So we had indications that those sites had been violated, in other words, broken into. So we sent guards out there, and again, the guards report back seeing the UFOs over the missile sites.
Wow.
Okay, so to make a long story short, we were relieved the next morning with another crew. The missiles were still down. And by down, I mean they were disabled. None of the equipment was damaged.
Mm-hmm.
I want to emphasize that. They were simply, the missiles were disabled due to guidance and control system failures.
Mm-hmm.
These missiles were inertially guided missiles, which means they had to be carefully oriented in their position. So that this was a kind of a complex hands-on procedure that had to be done to make sure that missiles, when launched, would follow the correct path to their targets.
Sure.
So all they did was upset the guidance system. And in order to do that, they had to penetrate 60 feet of earth and concrete and then penetrate the cabling system that went
right
from our center to each missile separately.
Mm-hmm.
And that cabling system was triply shielded against electromagnetic interference.
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, whatever signals these objects sent to the missiles, they would have to penetrate these triply shielded cables, send signals to each missile individually, to a particular piece of hardware on the missile called the guidance can. We call it the guidance can, where the guidance computer was. So that's what makes this such a phenomenal event. In fact, one of the documents we got back from the Air Force under the Freedom of Information Act made that statement that the possibility or probability of such an event is highly improbable. Anyway, that was that. We were relieved the next morning. I went up and talked to the guard, the main guard that saw the UFO, and he gave me basically the same information. He was kind of reluctant to talk because he had already been ordered not to.
Sure. Well, what an incredible story, Robert, and I want to thank you so much for sharing that. I have a lot more questions to ask you, too, but it raises a lot of issues. I know that from my conversations with the Galactic Alliance, they're a group of benevolent extraterrestrials. They're mostly human, not all human, but mostly human, that they did shut down the missiles back in the 60s and 70s and 80s even, in both the Soviet Union and the United States, if they felt like there was a possibility that those missiles might have been fired at each other to start a nuclear war. And they didn't want us to kill each other. They themselves are between 50 to 100,000 years ahead of us technologically and 30 to 50,000 years ahead of us spiritually. And for them, it's very easy to shut down those missiles. And I remember this happened. This happened back on March of 1967. Is that right? The time for that, for this incident? Robert, are you there? Well, we'll see if we can bring Robert back here. My wonderful engineer Eric is trying to bring him back, but it raises a lot of questions. And from what I've been told by the Galactic Alliance, is that there must have been least 10, 12 times or more that the Galactic Alliance stepped in and shut down the launching of these missiles. And I know that they did that because they didn't want us to blow us up. Back in March of 1967, of course, the Vietnam War was in full swing back then, and our president was President Lyndon Baines Johnson, who some say was not a very stable man. And who knows? I know that the Galactics can time travel, and maybe they saw President Johnson trying to do a missile launch during that time to start a nuclear war. I don't know, but I think it's good that the Galactics stepped in and did that. We're trying to get our friends back in Norway now, and we'll see if we'll get them on here in just a few minutes. I know that with Fukushima, the accident that happened there with the four nuclear reactors back in March of 2011, there was a tremendous amount of radiation released from that event. And I also know that the Galactic Alliance has stepped in and cleaned up much of the radiation across the Pacific and also right around Fukushima as well, because once again, they're not going to let us commit suicide. And so we are getting help off planet, and we have been getting help for decades now with various benevolent entities in getting help, the help that we need to, so that we don't kill ourselves. I know that from my conversations with President Kennedy that this planet is destined to evolve into a far better and much happier place in a higher dimension. And I know that from my conversations with him that if he had lived and if he hadn't been assassinated back on November 22nd, 1963, we would have a far, far different and much, much, much better world today than we do. But what Robert Salas was talking about is that the Galactics are not going to let us commit suicide, basically, and that's the real reason why they were shutting down these missile silos. The history of nuclear energy and nuclear bombs on this planet is very interesting, because if you go outside of planet Earth on advanced civilizations beyond this planet, nuclear energy and nuclear power and nuclear bombs are completely illegal. And they're completely illegal because a planet can completely destroy themselves, a civilization can completely destroy themselves within a few minutes if they with nuclear technology. And from my galactic friends, they tell me that we didn't exactly invent the nuclear bomb back in the 1930s and 1940s. We were helped instead by the reptilians who wanted us to destroy ourselves. They helped Professor Einstein and the Germans, of course, with the creation of an atomic bomb, because they knew that we would misuse it. And that's one of the reasons why the Galactics back in the 50s approached President Eisenhower President Eisenhower back in the early 50s and asked him to get rid of all of our nuclear weapons and in exchange for help in becoming a much better and happier civilization. Unfortunately, President Eisenhower, who was mind-controlled by the reptilians at the time, turned down their offer of help, and we ended up with the reptilians, and they gave us the technology for all these nuclear weapons. But anyway, we finally have Norway back on the line. Hello, hello, friends in Norway. How are you tonight?
Hello, Jed.
Good,
I'm
Robert.
Back on.
Good. I'm glad you're back on. Yeah, we got cut off there. Anyway, I'm glad to have you back on again. So glad. I was going to ask you, Robert, what other you said you had a contact. I'd love to hear that story, if you don't mind.
You bet. I fairly recently, about 2 or 3 years ago, started talking about my contact experience. Of course, I've been talking about my Maelstrom shutdown experience for about 20-some years, and I thought it was important to maintain as much believability, integrity, if you will, as I could. And so I hesitated not to discuss the abduction, or, well, we'll call it contact experience, because of what some people might think. But after a while, after hearing so many other stories of such experiences, I decided to go ahead and go public with it, because it's important to support those people that have had these experiences and give them the credibility they deserve. It's a very much a part of the UFO phenomenon. So in 1985, I was living in a particular house, which I recall because I used to remodel homes and resell to sell and then sell them and go to the next one and remodel. Mm-hmm. This one happened to be in Manhattan Beach, particular house, Manhattan Beach, California. One night, I happened to notice, I wake up in the middle of the night and notice a bluish light coming from the living room. And, of course, we didn't have any blue lights in the living room, so I was very suspicious. I thought we were being burglarized. I woke up my wife, and we also had two small kids in the house. So I woke up my wife and asked her if she also saw the blue light. She said yes. Excuse me. And so I told her I was going to get up and investigate. As I tried to get out of the bed, I was paralyzed. I could not move, completely paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't move my arms, legs, nothing, except I was able to turn my head, ask my wife for help, and she was unconscious. Mm-hmm. Even though I, you know, she had seen the light, and we had two small children in the house. Mm-hmm. So I struggled. I remember, as I go through the story, I'm going to tell you why this was not a dream. Number one, my wife has confirmed seeing the blue light. Number two, I remember struggling with all the strength I had to try to regain my mobility, mm-hmm. my movement. And I couldn't. The next thing I recall is looking at the doorway leading to our bedroom and seeing what looked like a hooded person standing in the doorway. I don't recall seeing the face, or maybe I don't want to recall, but what the image was, the face was. All I recall, there was a hooded figure. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that happened is I started rising off the bed, levitating off the bed. Recall that there were others, small beings, and honestly recall that they seemed childlike, but they were very small, childlike beings in the room. Levitated off the bed and being transported, floating towards the window of the bedroom. Now, this is going to sound a little strange, but...
That's okay. You're on Out of This World Radio. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, then, that's okay then.
That's fine. That's fine.
Because I recall thinking, don't know how to open this window. I had latched the window the night before, that night. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, they'll never get me through that window because they don't know how to latch it. Well, believe it or not, I went right through the window. No broken glass, just went right through the window. The next thing I recall is being on board the craft and on a metal table, like an operating table. I had one of these beings on either side of me, and these were the smaller ones, and then a larger being in front of me. This one had large, dark, black eyes.
Sounds like a gray.
It was very large. And the next thing that happened is he
he showed me a needle, and it was a relatively long needle. It was about a foot long. Mm-hmm. And he placed it right in front of my eyes. He wanted me, I'd say he, I'm not sure it was a he, but mm-hmm. Wanted me to see this needle, which I would describe as a needle, mm-hmm. Very long, and then communicated to me telepathically. There was no verbal communication. Told me that he was going to insert this needle in my groin area and it not hurt. Well, as he started the procedure, it hurt like hell. Mm-hmm. And so that's the third reason I'm convinced this was not a dream. Sure. Because I still recall the pain.
Yeah.
And as I complained about this pain, almost instantly, the pain went away. Hmm. So after that, I was taken off the table, escorted to a kind of a bench area, and then later escorted over to another room, if you will, where another being in a kind of a white uniform looked me over. Actually, he kind of turned me around. I remember he had long, bony fingers, and he went down my spine with these fingers, just right down my spine. I can't tell you what he was doing there, but that's what I recall. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And the next thing that happened was the two other beings escorted me, and by the way, I was floating all this time. Mm-hmm. They escorted me through a tunnel area. The tunnel, and there was a very bright light, and all of a sudden I was back in my bed.
Wow.
The next day, I didn't recall any of this.
Sure.
None of it.
Sure. Sure.
My wife didn't recall any of it. The only thing I recall is a couple of weeks later, I was working in my yard, in the front yard area, and I stopped working and looked up at the sky and just had this sense that I had been in space for some reason. It was just a thought that I had.
Sure, sure.
And that was that. It wasn't until 2007. So remember, this happened in 1985. 2007, I was giving a talk in Ireland, as a matter of fact. And one of the speakers got up there and had an experience and talked about seeing a blue light in her bedroom. And I immediately quit something in me and turned to my wife, who was sitting next to me, and said, did you ever see a blue light in her bedroom? And she said, yes. Mm-hmm. So that clinched it for me. And the way I was able to recover some of these memories was through a regression process, hypnotic regression. So I've had four regressions.
I can tell you a little bit. We've only got a few minutes left, but I'd like to hold you on, Robert, past the top of the hour here, and maybe for five or so minutes when we come back on air in a few minutes, because we always do our sports, news, and weather here at the station at the top of the hour. But I can explain briefly how, when, and why you were implanted. You were implanted during that experience, and also I can neutralize those implants for you now if you like, and we could have a further session over the weekend, which I'll be happy to remove your implants for free. But the first thing is a little bit of background is thanks to an agreement entered into by President Eisenhower back in the early 50s, the reptilians and their slave species called the Greys, and they had these big black eyes, were allowed to abduct and so-called study us humans on the planet in exchange for some of their technology to fight the Soviet Union back at that time. And that agreement, well, before the agreement was, the agreement's still in effect, but during the time that they were abducting humans, 6 million people were taken off this planet, Robert. Only 1.5 million were returned, and the rest were, some were eaten because the reptilians and the greys consider us food sources, much like we do cattle and chicken. But virtually many people were implanted. And back in 1985, they were using metallic implants in people. So the message I'm getting is you still have those implants, but I can... Well, here's something. We've got about 2 minutes left, and I'd like for you to say this now, and you can help sever the connection, and then this weekend I can take the implants out for you free if you want. But what you need to do is to say, I now own and control. Go ahead and say that.
Excuse me, Ted. Yep. But I would rather not do that at this point.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to have to think about what you just said.
Okay, that's fine. Totally fine.
If you don't mind.
No, not at all. It's free will. And let me just say, I'll just make it an offer to you. And then if you want me to remove them, I can. So,
okay.
But I want to thank you so much. And if people want more information about your wonderful work, Robert, could you give out your website, please?
Sure.
We've got about 1 minute.
I've got a site called spiralgalaxy.org.
Okay.
And on there, you can go and actually order my books through there. I've got two books. One is called Fated Giant. The other one's called Unidentified UFO Phenomenon. You can also get those on Amazon.
Okay, wonderful. Well, yeah. I still would like to hold you over a few minutes past the top of the hour here.
Oh, you bet.
A few minutes, and then we'll have Emma Louise and Jan Eric on. So anyway, this has been an incredible interview with Robert Salas from coming to us live from Norway at this wonderful international UFO conference. It's north of Oslo, north of Trondheim, if you are in Norway and would like to go. But please stay tuned, friends. We'll be back in just a few minutes with Robert again during our next hour. Please stay tuned.